Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're going to talk about season 15, episodes 13, 14, and 15 to finish off the season. But first, we have somebody who tweeted at us. Michael, ooh, former guest, tweeted at us a link to a TikTok from Lauren O'Connell, who I think
I've seen her on TikTok. I think she's a former contestant.
Is a contestant, yeah. And she talked about how they get, the question was, how do they get some like wide aerial shots or bigger shots of challenges without seeing the other cameras in there that are doing like close-up shots? And the answer is the answer is body doubles. So they will do like the close-up shots basically during the challenge. And then when all the actual contestants leave, they run the challenge again with body doubles of all the contestants and do like a wider shot where you can't tell it's actually not them.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I need to like watch for this now. Do they make the body doubles like do about the same as good, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. And then they also will like check in on what they are like wearing and stuff. I'll actually play the audio of it so you can hear what she says exactly.
Before I was on the show, and I think it's morning, y'all. I saw this question. I got really excited because this is actually something that I had no idea about before I was on the show. And I think it's pretty interesting and fun to talk about. The way that they film faraway shots and those beautiful aerial shots during challenges is because we have body doubles. Now, body doubles are only used during challenges. They are not used any other time, but they are used because if you think about it, when we are walking up to a challenge or we are competing in a challenge, there are cameras everywhere. So after we have run the challenge, our body doubles will go through and run the challenge exactly like we just ran it. I've talked about this before, but when we get to a challenge, we go through three checks, right? We go through the med check, we then go through wardrobe check, and then we get mic'd up. During wardrobe check, they take a Polaroid of what we're wearing so that they can use that Polaroid to dress our body double. We never see our body doubles. The body doubles are never doing anything that could interfere with the game, but they do allow them to get those beautiful aerial shots that I think are really cool. My dad came for the loved ones visit. He mentioned how amazed he was by the number of cameras that were there filming the challenge, because there are probably 50 to 60 cameras filming just the challenge, right? And then you also have kind of the cameras that move with you as you compete if it's kind of one of those like obstacle course types challenges and you're not just sitting stationary. So yeah, I think this is such a good question and I always wondered it, and I'm not gonna lie, when I like was on the show, I was like, oh my God, so cool, I have a body double. I don't know, I was silly.
I have like 50 more questions. So like, first of all, I'm just thinking about this more, way more impressed with editing that like, even all of those close-up shots, we never see other cameras in the background.
Yeah.
Which is super impressive. But then like, do they hire specific body doubles to like match the like looks and body types and stuff of those people? And if so, like if their person gets eliminated, do they lose their job, or are they hired for the whole season and like they just don't have to work anymore if the person that they're doubling isn't in the show anymore? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I would hope that they get hired for the whole season.
Yeah. But then, like, do they just go hang out at their own version of Ponderosa when their contestant double gets voted out? They don't need to do anything anymore.
Yeah, maybe just back at camp. But it also seems like they do this later. So, like, they probably aren't there for 26 days. That you need to do the challenge, like, later that day. It's probably like they have all these Polaroids, make adjustments, and they probably do like multiple challenges a day or something.
Yeah, that would make sense. Maybe like over the last week or whatever that the contestants are there, there's a separate team going and doing all of that.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing only because, like, you know, there are challenge things that were essentially reused from like 43 to 44, but with like subtle differences. So I assume that that's all in the same spot, but they had to redo it between the seasons.
Yeah.
And so they need to film the body double stuff of the 43 before they can redo it for 44. All of that logistical stuff is wild. Yeah. I need more discussion of the body doubles from Jeff on his podcast. I don't know if he's going to continue that for 45 or not. We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe check out Lauren O'Connell on TikTok. Maybe she's answered some of those questions.
Yeah. Thank you for sending that, Michael. That's fascinating.
Okay. Let's talk about China, season 15. They start off getting some tree mail that is arrows, which tells them the challenge is probably going to be something with shooting arrows. And we learn that the reward challenge is launching arrows to score points. But they get to distribute secretly arrows to other people, which was kind of an interesting twist to this. And so it ends up basically that Courtney ends up with tons of arrows to launch, and PG ends up with very little, only one. And the reward is they get flown to the Great Wall of China to have a meal and spend a night. And they launch these arrows, and because of how the targets are set up, you might not always hit who you're aiming for, which means you might accidentally give other people points. So Denise, who only had two arrows, ends up winning this because of other people who are hitting her target. And she gets to pick two people to go with her. She chooses Courtney to go with her. And then while she's thinking about her second choice, PG tries to like get herself chosen by saying she's going to be on the jury. Come on. And also PG has taken Denise on a reward before, but Denise chooses Todd instead. So Todd, Denise, and Courtney go for the reward. Yeah, let's talk
about... I feel pretty bad for PG here. Like, PG goes on to be pretty upset about this in, like, not a very strategic way, but I did feel bad for her of she just gets forgotten over... Not forgotten. She gets actively dismissed over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the... I mean, it's the nature of how the alliance has worked out, and then she just ended up not getting... Just kind of gets carried along. They don't need to eliminate her, really. But yeah, back at camp, we have a confessional where she's clearly upset, but also knew that she shouldn't have said... Like, let other people know how upset she was. She also said that she overheard Denise say that she doesn't want PG getting any stronger from, like, food and stuff at rewards. This is where we get the title of the episode. PG says, hello, I'm still a person.
That's the name of the episode.
Amanda is frustrated and upset because she feels like she's overworked at camp since all the others are gone. She straight up asks PG, like, hey, why do you dislike me? And why don't you talk to me? And they kind of say they cleared it up, but I feel like they didn't show them clearing it up.
Yeah, I agree with you.
She just like asked it, and then they like moved on to another scene where it was like, okay, things seem okay now. And I'm like, wait, why don't you like show us any of this conversation? But they get some fruit from trees. At night, they talk about Denise and how she's kind of like a puppet of Todd. And PG is asking if Amanda would get rid of Todd or Denise next. And Amanda says she's open to things. On the reward, Denise, they're enjoying champagne on their private plane. Denise had a fun quote where she said, a bit of bubble, perhaps. Just trying to act fancy. Todd gets to act as a flight attendant, which is his actual job, and so that's nice. Their meal when they get to the Great Wall is like a hot pot where you dip meat and veggies and stuff into hot oil, which most of them see, or they don't really seem into that much.
They seem very, like, surprised and confused by it, which I was like, I feel like someone should have explained this to them. Hot pot is great. Have you done hot pot before?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Courtney says that they chose Todd as the second person. Like, her and Denise talked and picked Todd as the second person because they were more worried about him being angry than Amanda being angry for not being chosen. They get some iced coffee after dinner, which I was like, I'm sure that's great, but, like, they're getting it right before bed, and I'm like, they're going to have to sleep, and this coffee is going to, like, really charge them up with caffeine.
Yeah.
Todd kind of talks strategy a little bit. He says if PG wins immunity, maybe we kick out Amanda. And then they return to camp. And
which I don't know if he actually means that or not. I think that he's like, this is what I need to say to the three of us. Like, so, because...
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, I think he was tighter with Amanda. And he would sooner get rid of Denise, probably.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Back at camp, they return. PG and Amanda aren't there right away, which makes them, I don't know, worried, I guess. But they're just coming back from the well. And then Todd and Courtney complain about the food from the reward, which it's got to be a faux pas. You don't come back from a reward you just won and complain about it.
Especially a reward that you didn't actually win, but got taken to, yeah. And other people actively wanted to be taken to.
And a reward in which the food that you're complaining about, there was extras you packed away to bring on the plane and then ate on the plane and didn't give it to anybody.
Yeah.
Which Todd did, and Denise tells Amanda this, like, hey, we packed food to bring to you, and Todd ate it on the plane. The next day, day 36, we have the immunity challenge, which is a combo of some of the previous challenge where they will throw stars, eat balut, bounce a ball on a drum, and then use a sword to cut down wooden discs and complete a puzzle. Todd is the first one out, followed by Denise, who just can't get through the balut. And Jeff is very clearly annoyed that she's not even trying the balut. There's like a couple times in these last couple episodes where like Denise seems to like kind of give up or like waver in the challenges, and Jeff is clearly like annoyed with her.
Yeah.
Courtney falls out, and then PG is out, meaning Amanda wins. So Amanda has immunity. Back at camp, Denise and Amanda talk about how Todd isn't trustworthy and he's a threat. They have to give us some time at camp to try to like work up some storyline that suggests that PG wouldn't be the obvious one to go. Which PG tries to like talk to Denise and Amanda and be like, hey, we can get an all three women final. That doesn't go through. And so they go to tribal council and vote PG out 4-1.
This is, was not shown in the episode, but online you can get like voting confessionals that they don't actually show, which I've mentioned in the past. And Todd's for PG is fun because he says, you want to know the best part about your name? It's the same name as my hometown. Go Vikings. Peace out, PG. Because he's from Pleasant Grove, PG, Utah.
Interesting.
I thought that was like a fun nonsense, like not nonsensical, non sequitur a little bit.
Yeah.
Voting confessional.
They do talk at tribal council a little bit about whether, about like what warrants taking somebody to the end, to the final three, and whether you take somebody that you can beat or you take someone who played well and deserves to be at the end, which I think is an obvious answer. Like you take somebody who you can beat.
Yeah. I feel like, which we'll talk about this more with the finale episode, but this season I feel like is a bit of a turning point of like the jury respecting strategic good gameplay, including like taking someone who you think you can beat, rather than in most seasons leading up to this I feel like it would have been respected to like, no, take the one that deserves it, you know.
Yeah,
like that's kind of what Jenna argued in the Amazon, and she was like, no, that was a lie, like I took Matthew because I thought I could beat him, but I framed it as I want to take the person who deserves it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're finally switching a little bit over, no, make the strategic move, and that's respected.
Yeah. So it takes us to the finale episode, Slippery Little Sucker, where we pretty quickly get to the reward challenge, where they have to climb down a ladder, across a bridge, build this bridge from planks, transport blocks back to the top of the wall, and complete this wall puzzle. The reward is pizza, beer, soda, and brownies, which is a serving for one. Jeff says clearly,
considering what happens.
And so they do this. Todd and Amanda are in the lead pretty quickly. And then kind of everybody eventually catches up while they're working on the wall puzzle. Not like catches up, but everybody gets to the puzzle at least. And then Amanda ends up getting the puzzle together first and wins. And then Jeff...
this puzzle was like, it's my least favorite kind of puzzle.
Oh, you think? Is it like challenging wise?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like, it's a good one for this because it's hard and spatial reasoning and stuff.
Yeah. It was like three-dimensional Tetris pieces, essentially filling like rectangular prism perfectly. It looked so hard. I was like, it is the type of thing that I feel like I should be good at, but I'm not good at. And so it infuriates me.
I think this one was probably less difficult than you think because of the painting on it. So you always knew what side had to be up or out. And so that tells you the orientation a little bit.
Yeah, it would still frustrate me a lot.
Yeah. So Amanda wins, and Jeff tells her that, hey, this stuff that's a serving for one turns out maybe not the case. She could eat it alone, or she can pick one person to join her, or two people to join her, and it's up to her. So this is another
maybe the cruelest turn that like when Jeff is just like, yeah, bring one person, bring two people. Like, that's when Jeff tells you that you have to bring people, that makes it way easier than, you know, yeah. What? You could just not take anybody.
Yeah. And so, especially with like some seasons, I don't think this would have been a big deal. And they would have just like taken two people pretty quickly. It just like depends on the alliance. But this season, like at these final four, like it's just kind of shaky as to like who's going to be the odd person out, basically. And so very political choices have to be made in a decision like this. So Amanda chooses Todd and then nobody else. So Courtney and Denise do not get to join in on the food, which I don't know if any choice here would have like actually affected results. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you that I don't know if it actually mattered. I think that this was the worst possible move to make, but
I think her idea was probably just keep Todd happy because she feels like Todd is running things.
Yeah, I think that she should have taken zero people or two people, and taking one.
Yeah.
Leaves two people to go talk without you.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
So we get to see the reward where Amanda and Todd get to enjoy this. Amanda wanted to see like what Todd was thinking. She doesn't really trust him, which she tells him like straight up. He swears on his mom that the final two is him and Amanda. Back at camp, Denise is kind of sad she wasn't chosen. Courtney, talking about Todd, says he's a slippery little sucker.
That's the name of the episode.
Amanda and Todd return. Denise and Todd talk. Todd says he thinks Amanda or Courtney have the best chance with a jury, which there's like, I don't know how people would like believe this. Like, there's no way Courtney's going to win with this jury, right? Well, I guess she does. Well, yeah.
I would have thought that, but she gets second place.
Yeah, she does better than I thought. I turns out I think I'm bad at predicting what the jury does sometimes.
I thought that I knew what was going to happen for this jury, and then the Final Tribal Council happened, and I think that, as we will see, Amanda, Courtney, and Todd are in the Final Tribal Council. Amanda does very poorly in the Final
Tribal Council. Yeah, she kind of had, like, a Nalia problem, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where she didn't realize they weren't liking her answers and didn't change anything.
Even, like, at one point someone tells her, like, hey, I don't like your performance. Do better.
Yeah, like, I don't, yeah, really. Like, I don't like your puppy dog eyes or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, I, going into this episode, kind of, was, like, I think Amanda might deserve to win more than Todd. Like, Todd's been shown as this big strategist, but I think Amanda might have actually been doing more behind the scenes. But, yeah, I'm getting ahead of us a little bit, but, like, Courtney also does a pretty good job defending herself. So,
yeah, that one is, hers was just weird because there were some people who were clearly had completely written off Courtney and like kind of rudely do so. And so just depending on the person that's talking to her, asking the questions, it's like she got nothing or she was able to actually talk through some stuff. Right. Yeah. So there's just talk at camp about who the final three might be. They paddle through the past torches of people, which is like, felt like it went forever. It was so long.
This whole episode felt so long. And I think it's because it was like a 2-hour-long episode, but starting with the final four, where we are used to a finale being 2 hours long, but starting with final five. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it felt so long.
The only one I noted was the first person eliminated was Chicken. And their quote about him was, with a name like Chicken, how can you not be cool? Which is just right. Like, clearly they don't know much about this person. And they just were like, needed something to say. We go to the immunity.
That was the other tribe that none of them ever met Chicken.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay. We go to the immunity challenge. This challenge and performance, I had actually seen a video of on something about like somebody who like figured out a way to break the challenge kind of or something like that. So if to balance porcelain dishes on a platform at the end of the poll and keep it balanced. Todd drops first fairly early. And then where Amanda like breaks the challenge, doesn't really break it, but she, instead of stacking like the bowls vertically or like bottom on the bottom, top on the top, she like puts one bigger bowl over a smaller bowl and it's like a lot sturdier. And she kind of like does different things like that, which helps her stay a little bit more solid. Courtney ends up dropping out second. It's down to Denise and Amanda. Denise asks Amanda if she wants to make a deal. And Amanda pretty quickly is like, no, like, let's just do this. And Denise is out next and Amanda wins. And then back at camp, just lots more talking between all four. Who's Amanda going to vote for? Who's a jury threat? Denise kind of seems to get in Amanda's head about worrying about Todd winning. But we go to tribal council and find out that's not really the case, as we see Denise get voted out 3-1.
After this final tribal council moment is rough, where Denise says that Amanda said that she would have her back. And Amanda's like, well, I didn't say that today. And Todd like reacts. And then Jeff asks Todd about it. And Todd's like, I mean, that is oof, oofa doofa on that. Which then I think both is like, it's said at that point, like, does it kind of feel like Final Tribal Council is already starting at this point? And Amanda's like, yeah, what the fuck, Todd?
Yeah, which she confronts him about back at camp too. Just that he like called her out in front of the jury, kind of. They get their last day, like breakfast feast. They make a big bonfire of some of the items around camp.
If Amanda had turned against Todd, it would have been 2-2. I imagine that Todd still wins at fire making against Denise, right?
Maybe. And it wasn't, somebody made a throwaway comment that made it sound like they don't actually know the tiebreaker, because somebody said rocks or fire making.
Oh, yeah, I think Denise said that.
So I don't know if like maybe she doesn't know and they've all been told and like she didn't read the fine print or whatever, or maybe the show just doesn't tell them what tiebreaker will actually be. I think it would be fire making too, but she said that and I was like, wait, what? Could it be back to rocks? Like, could it be either? Because we know rocks do come back, because I know that Tyson talks about how he drew rocks at some point.
I think it's always rocks unless it's the final four.
Oh, okay.
Because we also saw Final Four fire making with like Suri in Panama.
Yeah.
And Cook Islands, I think, also. When they needed matches.
Yeah.
Becky and Sundra, I think.
We get the final tribal council. They have some opening statements. I'm gonna try to read through and pick out stuff that seemed good. Really, the general idea is like Todd kind of just owns up to his backstabbing and is that he played well and got rid of people. Amanda is more like apologetic, and then Courtney, I don't know, really like Courtney's vibe.
Courtney, I think Courtney's strength here is that she admits that she like was kind of mean, and she admits that she didn't know what she was doing, and she tagged along and got here and survived. And she like, she doesn't try to claim things that weren't hers. She admits that she wasn't very nice to people. And like, I think that they respected the like openness and honesty of that.
Yeah.
And, Denise and James, who end up voting for her, I think are just like, yeah, she was always herself and she wasn't a liar in the way that Amanda and Todd were. And she isn't claiming that she did more than she did. Like, that's, yeah,
cool. Yeah, James, like, definitely liked Courtney from the beginning. Like, his only question was to Courtney to say something good about the game. And she did. And then that was it. And Jeff actually asked him, like, what was the deal with that question? He's like, I just wanted to start off with an easy one.
Jeff interjects a little too much in this like phase of Survivor.
Yeah.
Like that, I was like, no, that makes it seem like that was a bad question, and let the jury do their thing, please.
Yeah. Jean Robert is like, hey, I don't want Courtney here, but I also told Todd and Amanda that if they backstabbed me, I wouldn't vote for them. So I'm kind of stuck. I don't want to vote for any of you, so my vote is live. And Todd does an amazing job at just being like, hey, Jean Robert, you're the best guy ever. And Jean Robert eats that shit up.
Yeah. His question to Todd is essentially like, we agreed that James was the biggest threat, so why did you vote me out that round? And Todd was like, you realizing that James was a big threat made you the biggest threat, actually. So since you were my biggest threat, I had to vote you out.
Yeah.
And Jean Robert has like no response to this, which cracks James up in a way that I found delightful.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, okay, Todd just like won the whole jury over. Like, yeah. Todd just won the game with that answer.
PG asks, she says she wants to vote for who deserves it the most. And so she asks Todd to prove he didn't just slide into the final. And so Todd gives a quick summary of basically like everything he did. And she says, Amanda, I'm sick of you looking at me with doe eyes, and asks her to say what she did that's better than Todd. And Amanda's big thing that she mentions, it comes up here, and then she mentions it multiple times, is that she organized getting rid of James, who was a big threat. Eric asks, I
think is a really big move that Amanda can claim and did not do a good enough job claiming it, I think.
Kind of. I think it's just tough when you only have one thing. It starts getting repetitive. Like, you need more. Because, like, she just kept going back to it, and it felt like, okay, but that... The fact that she can only go back to that highlights that it was just one move, and it makes it, like, sound worse after a while.
Yeah.
And the follow-up...
It wasn't frustrating. Someone asked, like, what was your riskiest move?
And she mentioned that was Eric.
They were like, why was that a risky move? And I agree with her that it was a risky move, but, like, she didn't argue it well.
Yeah, I thought she did, like, okay with it, but it sucked that it was a risky move, and Eric, the question asker, was just like, nah, I didn't think it was risky. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to argue against that? Like, it was. He had two idols. Eric, he could have played an idol. Yeah. Jamie does this whole, like, hers, like, goes on a while. She seems, like, kind of angry. She's enjoying the power of being able to ask the question. She basically asks each of them to say something bad about the other two, essentially.
She does. Part of it is that she asks Courtney first. I agree with you that she kind of, like, enjoys the power. But she asks Courtney to say something bad about Todd. And Courtney kind of is like, I mean, we've already all talked about how Todd sucks. So, like, he's a big liar. And she's like, you got nothing else to add? And Courtney's like, I mean, we've already talked about it. And she's like, cool, moving on.
Yeah. Todd had an answer, basically, of, like, he did the dirty work for the nice girl, referring to Amanda as the nice girl. And that he was the one who, like, was doing most of the work, which somebody gives, like, Amanda more credit here. But yeah, Todd, like, actually did a pretty good job of taking credit for tons of stuff, but also, like, he didn't do much shit talking to the others. He just was, like, kind of, like, trusting his resume that he was better and he doesn't need to talk trash about the others, basically.
Yeah. And Todd won, I think, by being like, yes, I lied and that was strategic and I totally did that, but I also still made friends and those are two separate things for me.
Yeah.
Where, like, Amanda conflated those things and, like, apologized too much for what she did, where Todd was like, yeah, no, I was strategic and I lied to you and I betrayed you. And yes, that happened because I wanted to be here.
Yeah. And that comes up with Frosty asks, he's like, I love you, Todd, but I don't even know if I know you. Why should I vote for you? And that's where Todd explains, like, no, we were friends and I was playing the game and those were separate. And so you did know who I am. Denise says that she dedicated her life to being honest. Which we're going to see something in the reunion that I pulled from Wikipedia is an interesting tie back to this.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And she's like, they've all lied, but seems to, like, think that Courtney kind of has lied the least. And so she's kind of liking Courtney, which is what kind of plays out. So they do the vote reveal, and Todd wins 4-2-1.
It's very unfortunate that they just kind of, like, Jeff walks back and they're in LA or New York or wherever they are, and there's no, like, fun transition.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening anymore. I feel like we haven't seen it for a couple seasons.
I know. This one just felt, it felt like they were trying to be sneaky a little bit, because he's like, and I'll read the votes right now, because we're actually in New York.
Yeah.
But it was just like, come on. Give us a helicopter ride, Jeff.
Yeah. Then we have the reunion episode, which I don't really have a whole lot of notes from, actually. So we find out the Denise thing I was just referencing, there's more information about it in the Wikipedia page for this season. They talk about on the show how she was a lunch lady. When she returned from filming, she mentions in the reunion that she did not get her job as a lunch lady back, and she was working as, like, a janitor, basically. And it was, like, a second shift janitor, so she wasn't able to see her kids and stuff like that. And we, like, go to commercial and come back, and Jeff says that Mark Burnett will award her $50,000 as, like, a gift for this, which is cool. Which, weirdly, like, I don't know if it was just the editing, but they, like, cut to her husband and kid in the audience, and they don't seem to give a shit. They're like, That's like amazing that they just found out $50,000 and her husband had like no reaction. It was really weird.
I didn't catch that at all.
He was just like leaning back in his chair, just like stoic. It was odd. And so the thing that's posted in Wikipedia, and so I don't know necessarily the veracity of this, it says that the school district for which Denise worked later refuted her version of what happened after he returned from China. According to Douglas Public School District Superintendent Nancy Lane, Denise asked her and received a promotion to a higher paying full-time custodian position before filming began for Survivor. When Denise returned to work, she returned to that position, the custodian position, and then she asked to transfer back to her old position as a lunch lady, but it wasn't available any longer. And so, like, she stated that, like, she didn't have her lunch lady job anymore. Like, she didn't technically lie. It was just, like, weird how it was stated. And then she followed up
as a punitive thing instead of sounded at the reunion like she was being punished,
right,
and being given pushed to custodian when actually that was something she had asked for, and it was a promotion.
It was a promotion, but she ended up not liking it. She did apparently on the early show apologize. It was not her intention to be misleading, and she asked that the $50,000 be donated to the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, which is affiliated with like the show, or the show like donates to as well. Other stuff, they had a fan favorite. The top three contestants that were fan favorites were Denise, James, and PG. And James has announced the winner, so he got $100,000 for that. Jeff does like a try to do a quick poll of like, hey, if PG had been in the final three instead of Denise, would she have beat everybody? And like some people some people raise their hands and Jeff's like, see, PG, you were that close. I don't know that people would have actually voted for PG.
Oh, I think people would have voted for PG.
You think so? I felt like people really didn't like her.
I think people didn't really like Todd and Amanda and would have voted for the you survived when they were trying to take you down the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, if she could have played that story up really well, that might have worked on them. They gave us a preview of Micronesia, which is fans versus favorites, which is the next season that we're going to cover. I don't have any other notes.
Jeff just gives someone from this season will be there, but doesn't say who.
Yeah.
Which...
Oh, they also talk about is it Jamie and Eric who are dating?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Jamie and Eric have started dating, which we know that they are now married, or at least got married. I think they're still married.
As far as I know, yeah. Any other notes from the reunion?
I was just going to note, so Chris and I have started to watch Micronesia. And you'll get our first episode about that next week. But we know that, so James and Amanda come back from Micronesia. So this reunion was filmed after filming Micronesia, but before they know like any results from that.
Oh, okay.
Like they haven't read the winner yet, because that'll happen at the reunion for Micronesia. But like filming for Micronesia happened while China was on the air. They got back like a week before this.
Gotcha.
Which is just very interesting to me that like they already went and played a whole other game before Amanda found out if she won or not.
Yeah, that's interesting that they, or I guess the show, well, it would have been, I guess I would have been surprised if they had a winner out of like the 10 favorites. Like when they did the All-Stars, they had like a few winners.
Yeah.
But there are no winners in the favorites, right?
No, there's not.
Yeah, so it would have been weird, I feel like, to have a winner and then like 9 non-winners. So I wonder if the show knew that in choosing Amanda. She maybe didn't know, but if the show knew that, like, yeah, it's cool if we pick her in because we know she's not winning.
Yeah, maybe. It is. Yeah, we will also, we'll talk about this with Micronesia too, but like other people also recognize James and Amanda because they left after like a couple episodes of China had aired. And so it had started, but not finished, which is just the timing of that, I think, is very interesting.
Yeah. So that ends season 15, China. It was a pretty good season, I think. I like that the strategy stuff is starting to turn to like respect gameplay and not as much people getting their feelings hurt and just the jury being like mad at them. Because I don't usually like seeing that.
Yeah. I think I like the season a lot. I think it's pretty high up for me. Because I also like the like James getting idol or getting blindsided with two idols in his pocket is pretty great. I think pretty much everyone on the jury and beyond I've liked, at least as a character. Like, it was a very interesting cast, very good cast generally.
Yeah.
And yeah,
well, I didn't really like John Robert. I can't say I like him.
That's fair. And I don't even really like him as a character, but he made for some good TV, even though he kind of sucks. Yeah. But he sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like the season. We'll have to talk probably in a few podcast episodes of
ranking.
Yeah, ranking it with the others.
So next week we will talk about the first couple episodes of season 16, Micronesia, fans versus favorites. That we're gonna do over a series of 6 episodes. So we'll do 1 and 2, and then 3, 4, 5, and then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, 15. And that'll take us into August, and then we're gonna have enough time in August and September to squeeze in season 17 also before we get to 45, the brand new season in the fall. So lots coming your way this summer. Stay tuned. And if you can actually binge these and watch them kind of as quickly as we are, great. If not, you can just keep listening and hearing about seasons that you probably have seen before, or just save the episodes for later, you know. If you have questions, comments, you can email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20.
If you do want to watch Micronesia, or if you want to watch with us, I encourage you to do that, because we've only watched the first bit of Micronesia, but I have heard that it is like some people's favorite season of all time. So if you're going to watch one episode with us this summer, I encourage you to watch Micronesia.
Yeah, it is fun so far. And if you haven't seen it before, but you're like, I don't know if I want to watch it or not, the favorites that people of other players that have come back, we have Johnny Fairplay, which if you're like, I really don't want to watch him, don't worry, he's not going to last that long. Parvati, Yao Man, Sari, James from China, Ozzy, Amanda from China, Amy from Vanuatu, Eliza from Vanuatu, and then Jonathan Penner from Cook Islands. So there's like 3 Cook Islands people, a couple Vanuatu, a couple China, Exile Island, Fiji, Pearl Islands. There's a pretty good variety. Nobody from, I guess Pearl Islands was right before All-Stars.
Right.
But nobody from like the first 6 seasons, I guess.
I didn't know who all was on it. I knew like a couple of the people, but because I knew that like Suri came back and stuff like that. But when they were revealing it, I was like, oh man, when they said favorites, they meant like favorites. Like these are like people loved.
Yeah.
This is great. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah. All right. So for this, we got to plug something.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Luxury item of the week.
My luxury item is a little meta, I guess, considering this podcast. I'm going to say the beach. I spent the last week at the beach with my wife and son. And man, beach is fun. It's very relaxing. My son loved playing in the waves as they were coming up and hitting them in the feet, and playing in the sand, building sandcastles, destroying sandcastles. We went on long walks on the beach, went down to like a coffee shop on the beach, got a lot of ice cream. The beach was a good time. I've not always had a great relationship with the beach, and I think it's back. I like the beach.
That's beach. Nice. Let's go to the beach. Beach. Nicki Minaj. I also went to the beach recently. For our last day of school, we took the kids to the beach for a couple hours.
That was fun.
It was
also terrifying, but
they couldn't go in the water. They weren't allowed. About mid-shin was their highest point they were allowed to go, which I had a kid clarify with me by holding his hand at his mid-shin and said, this is how high I can go. And then he went and laid in the water because he's like, I didn't go higher than that point of where he held his hand in the air. And I was like, you knew what you were talking about. But that was fun. It was cold and rainy, but the kids loved it. So I guess that's all you can do. My plug will be moving into a new house. I'm currently in the middle of moving. Moving itself is obviously like work, packing things up. But I'm fortunate that I have, like 3 weeks of overlap between the places, so we can kind of like slowly move our items. And I'm just very excited about our new place, cause I think it's kind of like my current place, but just better all around. And so I'm very happy for that. All right. Hey, listeners.
I'll pick you up on that plug and do also move into a new place soon. So yeah.
Listeners, let us know if you're moving to a new beach or something by emailing us or tweeting at us at the previously described stuff. This week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.